Thank you, Barbara. Good morning, all. We're preparing for worship. I don't know what all of your routine is. Right after worship, we always go to lunch. We go to Melissa and I. The other day, we went to Panda Express, and they got our meals. We did the drive-thru, and they put 6 fortune cookies in my bag. Boy, did I feel fortunate. By way of announcements on the back of the bulletin, I want to make a couple of notices. We did have our church conference last week. If you were able to attend, thank you. If you weren't for some reason and it was our fault, let us know. We want to make sure that everyone is able to come and attend and be present with that. We have made no significant changes. So the district superintendent and bishop have accepted the staff to parish relations committee's recommendation that I return. So you've got to put up with me for another year. What else did we settle at church conference? I guess that was it, church conference. Everything. Pretty much it, things are on their way. I want to acknowledge Linda Emerson brought in our centerpiece for our communion table, and we celebrate that as we are in the midst of our second Sunday of Advent. Are there announcements? I know that Sandy Tinney is going to have one. I psychically knew that she was going to have one. Michael, if you could bring a microphone down to Sandy Tinney, and if you would stand up as you make your announcement, Mrs. Tinney.
The UMW did not meet Saturday because of the snow, and we are going to meet this Saturday at 10 o'clock, and all the women of Burns are invited.
Thank you. Thank you. Women of faith. I'm wondering, I've noticed that the last several weeks, when the women try and meet, it's when the storms come. Is God trying to tell us something, or I don't know. I'm just putting it out there. Other things, by way of agendas for the good of the order, the calendar for the upcoming week. We are moving along. If you weren't aware, Christmas is coming, Advent is coming, the birth of the child is on its way. Have you been ready and prepared? There was dead silence to that question. That's all right. Put all that behind us. All the things going on, all the upcomings, all the plans and thoughts, because now we give our thoughts and center ourselves on God. Shall we be in worship? Stand, if you will. Wave hello to one another, and then we'll turn to our call to worship.
If you'll... Mike?
Michael, we need the microphone on the lectern.
Okay. Now? Yeah. If you'll join me, excuse me, in the call to worship from Psalms 85, Lord, speak to us this morning. Let us hear what God, the Lord, will speak. The Lord will speak peace to his people. The Lord will speak to the faithful and to those who turn from the heart. Steadfast love will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. The Lord, let's start that again. Lord, speak to us this morning. Let us hear what God the Lord will speak. Come on, people.
We're
all over again. Lord, speak to us this morning. Let us hear what the Lord God will speak. The Lord will speak peace to his people. The Lord will speak peace to the faithful and to those who turn with their whole hearts. Surely God's salvation is at hand for the faithful, and glory may dwell in our lands. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. The Lord will give what is good. The land will prosper. Righteousness will abound. Thank you all. Let's join in singing Come, O Come, Emmanuel, which is hymn 211 in our hymn books.
Oh, come, O come, Emmanuel. Today, we continue our Advent journey toward Christmas as we light two Advent candles, peace and hope, as we share in our sacred journey toward the anniversary of the birth of Jesus. We hear the words of the scripture that journey with us. From the book of Romans, let us read the following words together. In this hope we have earth saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what they see? But if we hope what we do not see, we wait for it with patience.
I invite you to be seated, and I invite the ensemble forward. Yeah.
Okay, well, now they've got it done. So we will now read the scriptures, Isaiah 40, 1 through 11. It's found in your pew Bible on page 627. And I'll try to read it right. Comfort, oh, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and try and cry to her that she has served her term and that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. In verse 3, a voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground will become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their consistency is like the flowers in the field. The grass withers. The flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers. The grass fadeth. But the word of our Lord, God, will stand forever. Get you up to the high mountains, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift up, do not fear, and say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him, and his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flocks like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Diana. Well done. By way of concerns, if you hear that rattling noise, that's not us. That's God upstairs blowing a little bit. And I have to tell you a fun story. When I was in seminary, another pastor was a pastor of Aurora First. And that was at the day and time when Stapleton International Airport was here before it moved out to DIA. And if they were taking off and landing to the east, he said, the middle of the service, if there were planes going over, we all just stopped and waited till we could hear again. That's all right. God is good. And all the time, God is good. Paya is not here this morning. She was here actually early, making sure that we were set. I don't have an update on Ahi, the young fellow that was injured in the car crash in Australia. But the word is that he's doing well and he's out of the hospital, so we're grateful. I don't have any other updates on any of the others that you see listed here either. Do you have any updates on our concerns list on the back of the bulletin? We continue to hold them and pray for them. Just a thought, Jim Latah has not been here for a while. I'm hoping he is well. Haven't been able to get in touch with him, but Joe Burns got me his phone number, so we will try and double check on Brother Jim. If there are those others that we haven't seen, keep track of your family. We will do that together. By way of concerns, I left people caught up in a tornadoes, southeastern the United States, tornadoes from the storm that went through. Unsettling to have tornadoes in the middle of winter, or at least would be for me. Perhaps that's not as unusual for them in that part of the country, but I don't know. But we lift prayers. We lift prayers for those who've been hurt and who are hurting. We continue to pray for those in wars, those conflicts, for those who are caught up in different problems. Other concerns or celebrations? Deb Gunther, do you have something you'd like to lift? Please, Michael, if you would run a microphone over.
Thank you. First, updates on Krista Braymiller. I heard from her yesterday, and her surgery on her knee went well. She's in rehab right now. And also, I had on the prayer list my great-granddaughter Vivian. Got through her surgery. She's 3 years old and had a biopsy on a lump. She got through the surgery okay, so let's pray that everything comes back okay.
Can you tell me her first name again?
Vivian.
Vivian.
And I'd like prayers for my friend Darlene. I just heard that her father passed away last night. So prayer for Darlene Jones and family.
Darlene Jones, okay. Ruella.
I'd like prayers for my cousin's family. He died recently, just a week or so ago. They will be having services in January, and I'll let you know the date so you can pray for weather so we can make it to the Western Slope for his service. He and I were just a month apart, spent a lot of time together as kids, and he'll really be missed by a lot of us. So prayers for the family. His name is Chuck.
Tell us his first name.
Chuck.
Life and death and life again. The grief that goes with it. Amen. Amen. Miss Holly.
This isn't for a specific person, but just I have several people that I know right now that are struggling with issues with family relationships and those kinds of things. And so I'd like us to all remember to pray for people that are struggling with difficulties within the family. So,
thank you, Holly. Some churches celebrate a service on December 21st. It is the shortest day of the year. It is, and they call them Blue Christmases because for some, this is not a season as much of celebration but of grief. So we left them and we are aware of those. Other prayers of concern. I'm interested, now let's see, if that's north and that's south, that's west. So that star up there is a star on the east, is that right? If you can look up there on the back wall, there they've got a lit up star back there. The star in the east is calling us, amen? Other celebrations. What other celebrations do you have this morning as we come and gather? I want to celebrate Rich Schneer. He's not here, but he handled all the snow business and made it passable for all of us. He got out in the middle of it yesterday and did all of that, so we are grateful. By way of birthdays, let's see, we named them Sandy Lars. So today, let's see, Monday, Carol Ottenreit is having a birthday. Saturday, Holly Armstrong's having a birthday. I'm on the wrong week again, aren't I? Tuesday, Trista Price having a birthday. Wednesday, Sandy Larson having a birthday. There we go, the 12th and the 13th. So forget, I didn't tell you about Holly yet, so just do a little. Okay. Others, other celebrations of birthdays or anniversaries or those milestones that we share with God, and God is aware. All right. I don't see any others. Let's join together in our unison prayer as you find it printed in your worship bulletin or on the screen. Hear us as we pray. Reveal yourself anew, God of all creation, in ways that we can understand. Turn us around so we may join the meek of the earth in this Advent journey. We long for that day of peace when all people bear good fruit. We come with childlike trust that leads us all in the way of peace. Lord, help us not be only those who accept peace, but those who bring peace, in Christ's name. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation in preparation for prayer. Loving Lord God, on this brisk December morning, we feel the wind blowing. May it remind us of the wind of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in our midst, the Spirit that filled us all at Pentecost, the Spirit that is within us all, the divine spark that guides us, inspires us, leads us, and is always present with us. Help us remember your gift to us through that Spirit. Help us to remember everyone we meet as your children, as our brothers and sisters, seeking to understand perhaps their journeys, seeking to be peacemakers where there's conflict. Lord, we gather as your people and we wonder, what can we do when we see some of the things happening in the world? Lord, guide us. Guide us that we not become immobilized. Guide us that we do not move into apathy. Guide us that we do not sit back and respond, there's nothing we can do. Guide us, Lord, to find out how we might find your peace, grow in that peace, offer that peace, and be the people of the Prince of Peace. Today we lift concerns, we lift those that have had special concerns, but we lift all. In the beauty of the snow, we lift those who are cold. In the wonder of the rabbits and the squirrels and the wolves and the coyotes and the beauty of nature all around us, that we also see humanity all around us. That we lift this beautiful season, acknowledging some may be hungry, acknowledging our ways to participate in helping one another. And help us, Lord, on this Sunday of hope. Help us share that hope that we have through our faith. Help us, Lord, share with those who seem to have found themselves hopeless. Let them know that you are present always, forever, and everywhere. As you gather us, Lord, we gather with all our brothers and sisters, and we gather that the prayer Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want to acknowledge those I don't always remember to acknowledge, all those who are joining us online. We know that there are some that just can't make it. Krista Braymiller is in New York, and so it's a little hard for her to commute on Sunday mornings to come into worship. But all of those others, you are in our hearts. We gather as a church, and we gather in ways that we're learning, that is a church more diverse. Let's take a moment. Let's take a moment and acknowledge that this ministry is a ministry that is not just in this place, but everywhere, and acknowledge your gifts and graces that help it continue to be a ministry of Jesus Christ. Barbara will offer us an offertory.
Stand and join me in the reading of Mark 1 through 8, if you're able. Thank you. In the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight." John, the baptizer, appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were getting out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I think it's time for our VBS action song, a little bit of aerobic exercises. You know, I have an ulterior plot in putting this right before the sermon. It gets you all woken up. There's less chance of anybody falling asleep during the sermon, and so get your blood flowing and get everything going. It's been an interesting morning as we coordinate things, hasn't it? That's all right. Who else is going to come join? Carson, come down here and help us. Ricky? Where's Kelly? Kelly! We lost Kelly somewhere. He usually comes and helps. Thank you, Holly. All right. They need to. Stephanie, did we do this vacation Bible school particular one? Did we do it? Before I was here, probably. I think I've seen some of those drivers out on the road lately. Amen. First VBS was the summer that I came. How did I miss the one with race cars? I mean, goodness sakes. I do remember Everest. Is that what it was from? And they had race cars? What did we call those? Soapbox Derby. Yeah, Boy Scouts did stuff like that. Are those zero emission vehicles? Maybe we need to let somebody know. I don't know. Scripture was interesting this morning, but I'm a little perplexed. You see, I love the mountains. I've born and raised in Grand Junction, and then I've lived in Arvada. And my first appointment was just on weekends to a little town called Hillsdale, east of Cheyenne. You drive to Cheyenne, and then you go east for half an hour, and there's a little tiny town out there. Wonderful people, beautiful church, but couldn't see the mountains. It kind of fretted. So I moved to Fort Morgan from there, and Fort Morgan is at least as far east, if not further, and the mountains are not visible unless you stand in the middle of the railroad tracks right in town and look right at the top of the rails. You can just see Pike's Peak or Long's Peak peeking up there. You don't want to stand in the middle of the tracks often or long, but you could see the mountains. So I've always enjoyed being able to see the mountains. When I was younger, I used to climb mountains. Any of you ever done any 14ers? Okay, we'll have to compare notes. I've done 3, 4, something like that. That's been a couple years, but I do love the mountains. You get up to the top of the mountain and you look around and you realize that there's basically nothing much around you that's even as close to tall. It's like being in a heavenly spot. And it makes me feel humble because look at all of God's creation surrounding. And likewise, valleys. I don't want mountains to be smoothed out. And here the scripture is calling for every mountain shall be lifted up and every valley shall be lifted up. Every mountain shall be made low. The uneven ground shall become level and the rough places a plain. What about valleys? I love the Royal Gorge. How many of you have been to the Royal Gorge or the Black Canyon of the Gunnison or Colorado National Monument or the Grand Canyon or trying to think of other famous canyons? So I'm kind of concerned when I read this scripture in Isaiah. Everything flattened down and evened out. Would it be okay if all of that disappeared? Would it be okay if all conflict and disparity was gone, that people were all just the same? But that's not really what the scripture is about. We have to back up a little bit and hear in other Old Testament scriptures references to the valley people and the mountain people. And it was the wealthy and established and powerful people that had the fertile valleys, and the other people had to live in harsher environments on mountains and try and harvest and work in situations that were not as easily farmed, if you will. So it was about power and poor and wealth, and there's a bit of a play going on here about bringing those from the mountains that didn't have as much down and the ones that had so much and bringing them up till all people celebrating together. So it is a metaphor, I think, for the disparity between the wealthy and the poor. This last couple of days have been a good illustration, though, of how it is that mountains made low might be an advantage. The passes were closed on and off. How many of you have driven a lot of times between Grand Junction and Denver? I mean, hopefully everybody has made that trip at least once. How many of you made it in a winter storm? In May? A winter storm in May. That's the way the weather can be in Colorado, isn't it? And we understand how we feel like we have these modern superhighway four-lane interstates and tunnels through the mountains to make it easier, and it is still slick, and it is still God's nature that is it can be a challenge. So in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway of our God. Isn't about changing nature as much as it is rolling out the red carpet for God. Make the path easy. Prepare a beautiful, welcoming place that God might come. The New Testament scripture is John the Baptist. Mark begins the whole narrative about the good news. Mark, we believe, the earliest gospel written. And Mark begins talking about this fellow John. He's living out in the wilderness, and you need to think about what that means. There's no status living out there. You're not living in the ritziest neighborhoods and the finest homes. This was living off of honey and grasshoppers, wearing a not purple fine linens and beautiful clothing, but rough attire, roughly woven garments, the garments of the poor. And John is out there calling other people to come and join him, to leave behind the material world. Material world where the Roman Empire is there, and people are colluding with the Roman Empire and prospering from. And out of their wealth, they're beginning to ignore their faith and who they are and whose they are. And people are going out there to follow John. It is a significant movement that's going on here. Something is happening. I mean, if you're living in comfort and ease, why would you go out and turn to this hardship, turn to this life of meagerness? But people were responding because John was about God and faith and repentance. The people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him. So they knew that he was quite the speaker. He was quite the leader. He was a proponent of God. And people said, this must be the Messiah that we've been waiting for. You see, the Old Testament is all about preparing for the coming of the one who God will send, that Messiah, that wonderful leader, that King of all things that will be coming. And so they are in preparation for the Messiah. And John is out there, and some are saying, this must be him. We think this is the Messiah. We think that he is coming. His name is John, and he's out there, and we're going to be right there with him. He disabuses this notion explicitly. He exclaimed, the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. And I have baptized you with water, John says, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So John is trying to tell them, no, it's not me, it's not me. But of course the people, thinking he's just being humble, they still followed along. The cover of your bulletin, did you glance at that a little bit? Same pictures up here. That's John, and he is holding a book. It's intriguing that he's holding a book in the form of a book instead of the scrolls, because during that time it would have been scrolls. So this obviously is a depiction a little later, but notice it's not overt, but his right hand pointing with his finger is pointing to the Lamb. I am not the one. I am here pointing to the Lamb. It's kind of fun if you're a student of biblical artistry. You'll notice the halo around Jesus' head. It's called a nimbus, John's head. But there's also one down there around the sheep's head. You see it? These are holy ones. These are special ones, the nimbuses. And there's the Lamb. Agnus Dei. We have a slide there. Now, that's a long ways away. It's on the ceiling, but you can kind of see. There's a Lamb in the middle on the table. Go ahead and take the next slide, please. See the Lamb and the holding the cross? This is the Lamb of God. This is God's Messiah come. And the Lamb is important. It doesn't strike as easily for us. But if you guys will give me the next slide. It is the Paschal Lamb. If you were Hebrews on Passover, you would gather together and your family, and if you were small, you'd gather several families, and together you would sacrifice a lamb for the Passover feast. This was the sacrificial lamb for the people, and in making this sacrifice, you atone to God. You center yourselves on God. This is the way to return to God. Bo, you can take the next slide, too. So in this season of Lent, we are turning to hope. But the hope is in that lamb. And the lamb, appropriately, is a little baby. A baby born in a manger. Nothing fancy about that. Won't even make the newspapers. Definitely not going to make the national news. Just this baby born to an unwed mother, living or born in a feed trough for the cattle, because there was no place, there was no shelter, no posada. A baby, powerless, innocent, needy. That innocence of that baby will continue in Jesus. He is the innocent one through all life. And so when he is sacrificed on the cross, it will be an innocent person who is sacrificed for us, for humanity. The sacrifice once and for all times for our salvation. So we celebrated the first candle of peace, certainly a focus that we have to remember. This candle is the one of hope. For on Christmas Eve, we will pause together and on Christmas Day celebrate the birth of the King, the birth of the Messiah born to us 2 millennia ago, and the hope knowing that he is the Messiah, that he can transform us. The world around us, the peace within us, the love that we have to share one with another. This baby, innocent, born among us, will help us see where our egos and our misdirections have led us away from our faithfulness and our love of God first. Leave us with that bit of love that we are able to see on Christmas Eve, the baby born in humble estate, humbling us, gathering us, and guiding us, yes, even guiding us to love one another. Amen? May it be so. Let's sing that song, What Child Is This?, number 219 in your hymnal, if you would like to follow the music. On the screen, if the screens are up and working, if technology does not fail us.
Keeping this is
minds, let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds, God, and angels sing. Grace to bring.
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, Diana. What child is this? It isn't just Christmas with presents and gifts and holiday and cheer. It is the child born among us. It is the Messiah given to us through God and the Son. We are given the gift of that Messiah among us. Let us be those who offer that same hope to all that we meet. Amen? Join hands, if you will. We'll sing our closing. God's people said,
Amen. Amen.